We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody. Hey, and welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. Gabe, hey man, we're discussing all the college hoops. We've already seen the preseason rankings.
And oh yeah,
do some Pac-12s and some Big 12 today.
Yeah, we do. We should talk about the rankings though. I kind of forgot that was like news that we should talk about. Let's discuss it. Obviously, you are a voter. I don't know why my computer thinks I want the men's rankings. I never need the men's rankings. Good for North Carolina that they're number one.
Hey, DMV, right. Hubert Davis, Lake Braddock High School. Shout out.
I'll look at the men's rankings when Jordan gets there. That's when we'll start looking at. But all right, now have the women's rankings up. And also, we should say, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter names are right here. I'm at Gabe Ibrahim. Christy doesn't quite fit. At Christy W. Scott 51. Yeah, I can fix it. I got it. I can fix it momentarily. And also make sure you subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast feed, subscribe everywhere, because we'll be having you locked down, hopefully 3 podcasts a week throughout the college basketball season. That's the plan.
Can't wait.
And I think that's what we're up to. All right, now we can get into the actual stuff. So, South Carolina, number one, pretty easy.
Yeah.
That one's pretty easy. We can move on. One of the team, and then two teams that we're going to talk about today, Stanford, Texas, and then Iowa rounding out the top four. Now, Christy, you obviously have a vote. Would you say this year was a little hard to do the preseason rankings, or do you feel really comfortable doing it?
I think it's always very difficult for me, especially with the landscape being what it is, with the NILs and the transfer portal and all the different faces in different places. I get it. But at the same time, I mean, the coaches at the top there are the
same. Yeah.
So for me, that kind of eased my decision-making process, just to understand the philosophy and the culture of those top 4 or 5 programs in the country, and starting with Dawn Staley. I mean, she's a winner, proven winner, 2-time NCAA champ, multiple gold medals and as a coach and a player. I mean, when you have that kind of expectation coming into a program, I mean, it's just a lot of fun, I'm sure, to play for her. And I believe they have that new NIL deal there too, with all the players receiving $25,000. So, I mean, the landscape has changed, not just with the transfer portal, but those NIL deals, and you know, everything is a different landscape, to say it mildly, I guess.
But you're right. It's like Dawn Staley's at the top, you know, Stanford's at the top. We're back. Vic Schaefer's at the top. Yet again, we're right back to where we are. Tennessee's up there. Tennessee's number five. Louisville's number six. Mm-hmm. A lot of familiar faces in the top 10. Now, actually, I'm sorry. I was looking at your ballot. I'm not sure that was the whole ballot.
Oh, you're looking at mine?
I was looking at your ballot. So.
Hey, everybody, I love y'all. It's
nothing. You can see this. It's public knowledge.
Oh, okay, great.
So you have UConn at 8 and UConn 6 right now in the polls. Okay. I tend to agree with you on UConn because this team lost so much talent.
They did.
3 WNBA caliber players. We'll see if they have a chance to play in WNBA. Kristen Williams, Avina Westbrook, Olivia Nelson-Adota.
Yeah.
All three of them were on WNBA teams. All three of them are gone. Paige Becker's unfortunately out for the year. It kills us.
Hate
but,
it.
I mean, they do have a ton of talent. I'm not saying they don't have a ton of talent, but this is a very new look for this team. I think they're going to struggle early on.
I do too. And I think, you know, in listening to Gino Auriemma this past week up in New York for the Big East Media Days, I thought his comments were very intriguing. And they were basically right along the lines of what you said, Gabe, about them losing 4 of their 5 starters from last year. And I know that fifth spot, I mean, AZ Fudd missed some games early on, but she really came on strong. And to be honest, she wasn't 100% healthy last year, but he did give her roses for this year and mm-hmm. said that, you know, he challenged her and said, you know, we don't have Paige this year. We're missing 3 WNBA players from our starting 5 from last year and our trip to the Final 4. So you've got to be you and you've also got to be Paige. And she said, okay. And the fact that, well, first of all, I know AZ, so I know what she looked like basically when she said that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like no trepidation, no, you know, hesitancy on taking on that challenge. She knows what it is that's in front of her. She wants that challenge and she has thrived. And Gino Auriemma said that she has looked fantastic and said that she is 100% healthy right now, which she wasn't, like I said, last season. And the fact that she wasn't 100% and had the freshman year that she had, okay, you know, I think she did great. But the fact that he is praising her, I think says a lot right now.
Oh, yeah. No, I think AZ is going to be great. And then Ducharme, and they have a really talented team.
Yeah.
I'm just not... Look, it's hard to be in the top 6. These are really, really good teams. As we just mentioned, like, these are the normal suspects. All these teams have some experience near the top. I mean, Notre Dame probably has the least experience in this top 10. And it's really, really solid top 10. So... Right. I'm a little concerned about UConn and their non-conference schedule because obviously they always play a tough non-conference schedule.
They do.
That'll get them ready for the end of the year. We'll see where they're at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Anywhere else that you want to talk about? I mean, I see Indiana's 11, Virginia Tech's 13, mm-hmm. number 15, Oklahoma, a team we're going to talk about on this podcast, number 18, Baylor, right?
Right.
Any really interesting teams down there?
I mean, I think when I know we're talking Pac-12, Big 12 today, but with that, I mean, in the Pac-12, I believe there were 3 teams in the top 25 in the preseason poll. And for the mm-hmm. Big 12, there were 4 teams in the top 25. So, you know, when you're looking conference wide, I'm thinking the Big 10 has 6 teams in the top 25 preseason. And I know we're talking about other conferences this time, but I just think that that's pretty amazing. I know that Michigan got in there at number 25 to make it 6 teams from the Big Ten. And that's just amazing. But I just think that just speaks to the parity of women's basketball right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't care. People say stuff all the time that are not educated about what they're talking about when they're talking about the parity or lack thereof. But I just think when you have all of these teams who are thriving and battling it out, the non-conference portion of the season is going to be what it is. But when you get to conference play at each of these respective conferences, you better be ready to buckle in and go. Like, you better be able to play on a consistent basis with efficiency and fierceness. And when you have 6 teams in the top 25, you don't get any nights off. Like, what?
No.
You've got to go out there and battle it out every night. So I just wanted to put that out there with the Big Ten having 6 teams in. I just think that was pretty impressive to see that.
Yeah. Also, to be fair, though, the Big Ten has more teams. Right.
Splitting hairs.
to our first point, let's get into it. Well, first off, let's say hi, Dano. Hey, Dano. Dano says Thursday happy hour with our favorite people.
Where's Dano? My t-shirt, Dano?
We haven't. No, we have not. That's on me, Dano. Oh. We'll talk. I have the C4 for Ashley. So if you want to take a picture of this, send it off. Anyway, I still need my endorsement deal. I need my NIL. Someone get me my NIL, please.
I'm in there. So
let's get into it though. We were talking about how many teams are in these conferences. Well, we'll start with the Big 12. The Big 12 has 10 teams in it.
Yeah.
Not 12. They're going to have both less and more, depending on what happens and when, because so Texas and Oklahoma obviously are leaving to the SEC at some unknown time, perhaps. At the latest, 2025, I think that's like the cutoff date.
Yeah.
But it could be before that. So we don't know about that. BYU, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston are all coming into the conference next year. So that when Texas and Oklahoma leave, we will in fact have 12 teams in the Big 12. We'll be back.
Once we get,
They couldn't, well, and it's great, you know, obviously they couldn't change their name to the Big 10. Because there's already a Big Ten. But the Big Ten has like 16 teams in it, right? Am I wrong about that? I don't know how many teams are in the Big Ten.
14.
14?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's like the ACC and the... All right. And then now... 15. No, now they'll have 16 because we'll talk about what the other Big Ten stuff.
Yeah.
Momentarily, we get to a conference that has 12 teams in it. To the one that has 10 teams in it. Let's talk about the Big 12, as you mentioned, four teams in the top 25, number 3, Texas, number 8, Iowa State, number 15, Oklahoma, right. Number 18, Baylor. Now, Iowa State's picked to win the conference, and Ashley Jones is the preseason player of the year. They are ranked lower than Texas. And I think one of the crazy things here, and I'm probably going to talk about this again, Baylor has owned this conference for my entire lifetime.
And I'm fine, so that's
and almost Christie's. I understand why they're 18th. I'm a little worried that that's gonna look really dumb by the end of the year.
I think so. I mean, when you look at last year, I mean, first year head coach, and when you have new players to work with, new philosophies, new things to get going, I guess, if you want to say it that way. They started the season 0-2 last year and ended up winning the regular season. So I think what you're saying is correct, but I just don't know if they're going to have that same slow start. I think they're ranked a little low this season as well, preseason. But at the same time, they did lose a lot as well. I mean, they lost some WNBA players from the Indiana Fever, right? So they lost some really toughies.
That's funny how you said that. They lost players to the Indiana Fever, not to the WNBA, just to the Fever, because they did. That's exactly who they lost their players to.
They missed a lot though. I mean, when you're looking at who they will not have, right? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when you're doing preseason prognosticating, you are thinking of that fact, right? And we were talking about the moves and the changes and the faces in different places and all of that, but it's also who graduated, who went to the league, who's coming back, and what does that core look like? So I just think when you have Coach Collin there going into her second year, I think she has some continuity going into her second season. But I also think, maybe they got off to that slow start because they were trying to get to know each other. Right. The players were trying to get to know her philosophy, but she was also trying to infiltrate her expectations. And that takes time. And I think when they were out of the gate and lost those two games early, I think that was, everyone was like, oh, my goodness. Like, is this a lot for her? Is this team going to be able to recalibrate themselves? And yes, they did.
Yeah.
And ended up winning the regular season title in the conference. So when you have that level of confidence from last year doing what you did. And yes, you're missing some pieces, but you also know what it takes. And I think with the Baylor team, they have great fan support down there. And Nikki Collin is a fantastic coach, coached in the WNBA for years as well. And she just loves the game. I mean, I just love talking to her because her basketball acumen just comes oozing through.
Yeah.
And I just always seem to be taking notes down about some kind of strategy or some kind of philosophy that she learned along the way. And it's just, I mean, you're always learning, right? But just to learn from someone like her in a conversation is really good. It's really big. And I think the Baylor players will be better for it, having her on the sideline once again this season.
Yeah. And then you mentioned they lost WNBA talent, which they did. But they gained some WNBA level talent. Asia Blackwell coming over from Missouri. She might be a first round pick. Dreyuna Edwards coming over from Kentucky, sharpshooter. And Diana Van Guytenbeek, I've been practicing that last name, coming over from Stanford, a former five-star recruit, junior. So she has some time to grow. So they added talent. Jaden Owens, their guards are pretty good. Jaden Owens played well last year. Sarah Andrews played decently well. They really got going towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
They have some freshmen. Caitlin Bickle's still there. So it is, like you're saying, they have a lot of experience. It's just different. So maybe it kind of does look like it did last year. And maybe that's where that experience comes in is, okay, hey, we may drop some games, but we can pick it back up and win this conference. So I just think that was eye-popping that Baylor was eighth. I think they were picked fifth in the conference. Let me have that up, actually. I have it somewhere. I didn't write it down. I did. Hey. Yeah, they were picked fourth.
I didn't. Oh, okay, good.
They are picked fourth in the conference behind Iowa State, Texas, and Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
I don't know about that.
What do you think about that? What do you think about that?
I like Oklahoma. I believe in Texas. I think Texas is very good. I think Iowa State has some question marks, but they're ultimately very good. I understand. I've just seen Baylor win this conference again the vast majority of my lifetime. So it's tough to really say, hey, if it works out right, Baylor, if it works out for Baylor, they're going to win this conference.
Okay.
I think that's fair. If everything they're envisioning comes to pass with Asia Blackwell being a first round pick, Edwards, you know, being that sharpshooter, Van Guytenbeek coming up and really playing a big role. And let me know if I'm saying that wrong, please.
No,
I'm sorry.
That's right. No, I just had to repeat it so I can get it in my vernacular.
But you know, if those three come in and really add to what they already have, and those guards grow a little bit more, and everyone understands, I think they just have a chance. They're not my pick. But I think they're underrated. Certainly, okay. I think we can agree on that, right? They're a little underrated.
We can agree on that for sure. Yeah.
And I think you guys might play that back early in the season, but late in the season, we're gonna come back and say that we're right. All right. Do you want to move on to our first topic, a player to watch?
Oh, sure.
I have three.
You have three. Okay, I was going to say, how many are we looking at? I have my list of things here. But
You pick one, and then we'll see where we're at.
No, you go. I have to get my thoughts organized. Go.
All right, so I think the player to watch, and she's on the thumbnail of this video, is Rory Harmon. She's an electric basketball player. You know, jitterbug on both ends, can get to the rim at will. She's so perfect for that Vic Schaefer dribble drive offense. She is also a defensive stopper, which is a little crazy to say. I don't know if she's a her defense is good. And it's crazy because she is very small. Which it doesn't really come together. 5'6", she's already a very tenacious defender in passing lanes, getting deflections. Really great player on both ends, and she plays with that tenacity that I think of when I think of a Vic Schaefer team.
Right.
So to me, she's the player to watch. I think she's the player that's going to end up winning the player of the year in this conference, because I think we'll get to where I think Texas is going to be in this conference a little later. But I think she's the one that has the name quality already, and she's waiting to take that leap. And I think if those other players, if Ashley Jones, maybe some of the other players in front of her, don't have an even better season than they had last year, then I think Harmon may get those votes.
I hear you. I'm looking at the preseason all Big 12 team, and it's hard to decipher because there are about 15 kids on there, and you're asking me for three, and you know that's the bane of my existence. Because you can have – it's a cornucopia of all the different – types of players and what they can do well, and it's hard for me to decipher that because it's what you like, right?
So I can't believe there's 15 players on the all team. Okay, like we need to have a first and second and third team. Okay, you know what I'm saying? All right, that's the, I mean,
it's 12 of them. Wait,
there's 12 of them.
1, 2, 3. 11.
That's it. That's kind of crazy. Why is there 11?
11.
There's 15 kids on the basketball team.
That's what I'm saying.
Whatever.
If you're asking me to whittle it down three, Gabe, and it's like making my vein pop out.
Okay. I you know who I want to hear about? Ashley Jones. Do you think of Ashley Jones?
I think that she will be a great player on the next level. I think that, you had a face when I said that. You had a face.
I have a little bit of a face. I think Ashley, it's hard to, I mean, Ashley is a really good shooter. She's a great off-ball player. She's a great basketball player. She just knows how to play a game. I think she works really hard. I wonder how much of what she does at Iowa State is translatable. Because she's dribbling a lot. She's dribbling a lot when they need it. Okay. And I think it's just at times I found her offense to be a little non-WNBA-ish.
How so? I'm gonna pull it out of you.
Well, she just dribbles a lot. There's times in the tournament where I think it was who'd they struggle with in the first round. I want to say it was UTSA. Mm-hmm. They struggle with UTSA, okay. And they kind of went to her to attack mismatches, and she couldn't really attack the mismatch that well, and it took her a while to establish post position, to get to the basket, to explode off her player. And that just was like, well, okay, that's one of the things I want you to do. I know you as a spot-up shooter is great. Her defense is okay, I think. I don't think she's going to be like a huge negative or positive on that end. Okay. So it's just like, you know, how much of this is translatable? I think she'll be a good player. I'm not as high as perhaps other people are on her draft prospects.
And sometimes when you look at statistics, you're looking at the volume. And the
Calvin points out it was UTA, sorry, not UTSA.
Almost.
Well, we should know.
Yeah. Well, it's only true. But I think it's sometimes when you're looking at someone who scores the ball the way that she does,
mm-hmm.
And she can shoot that thing. I mean, she shoots the leather off the ball. We understand that. But, you know, the way in which she gets it, I understand what you're saying. So this year, if you see that from her ability to read pick and rolls and cross matches and her ability to attack those, if that's better this year, would that change your mind what she could offer it to the WNBA?
Absolutely, of course. Anyone can change my mind about anything at any point. I am a lawyer.
Even me?
Of course. I'm a lawyer. And truth is relative. Truth is relative, so if you want to convince me of something, feel free. No, I think she can totally grow into a very, very... I think she can grow into maybe the second-best player in this draft. Who knows? I don't think she is right now. I don't think she's in the top five of this draft, actually. Which might be a little low for people. That's why I'd say I'm a little lower. Right. I think she's a wonderful player. Also, she may, like... I don't know. There's a small chance. Talking to some people from the Iowa State media, they just think she really loves teaching. And she might just go and do that. I don't know.
No. She is a
gym. She really loves it.
Her whole family is a gym.
Oh, yeah.
She's not going to. I mean,
teaching's a noble profession. If she wants to do that, that'd be lovely.
It is very cool. But when that dog comes barking for her and she wants to play, she's going to have to go play, honey. She better go play.
You know what I just thought of?
Ball till you fall. That's what I'm saying.
What profession could be better for a WNBA player than being a teacher?
True.
You just have to time it up.
You got to make sure you're right, though, on that.
Yeah, the timing has to, because obviously with the prioritization rule, you can't prioritize your teaching schedule.
Talk about it. True.
I don't know. But you could do that because the season's in the summer. So if you could go to some weird school that has a particular way... That's neither here nor there. Ashley Jones is probably going to be in the WNBA draft. She's probably going to be a very high pick, and she's going to be a very good player. And I think she's going to be in the mix here. But my problem is I don't think Iowa State's going to be quite as good as they were last year. They lost some talent.
They did. Yeah. But they were super tough last year. I mean, they had the big win early on over mm-hmm. Iowa when Iowa was in the top 10 in the country, and that moved them up and into the rankings. And this year again, they're in the top 25 once again. So it's like, I don't know. I like players who have the responsibility to carry your team and not just statistically on the offensive end. I mean, you're carrying your team as a leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're carrying your team like as a non-defensive liability, okay? Like what you said, neither here nor there, like with her ability to defend. But you're also, you know, you have to bring that level of accountability, right? And integrity to what you're doing and how she's presenting her game. So I give her a high level of respect. I mean, she's preseason pick for player of the year in the conference. So other people may see those qualities in her as well, not just her scoring.
Oh, yeah.
Not just her scoring prowess. I think there, you know, you have to be able to score the ball. Everybody can score the ball. Everybody, you know, you're in college, you've earned a scholarship for a reason. You're a skilled basketball player, just like when you're a pro. You have those respectable qualities that earn you the right to be a pro. So you have a big responsibility on that, though, to be consistent. And when you're not consistent, that's when you are looked at in a different way, right? You have to be consistent with what you're doing on the court.
Yeah, no, I think she will be. And they're, I mean, look, Emily Ryan and Lexi Donarski, we haven't mentioned them. Mm-hmm. Two excellent basketball players. Just two excellent basketball players. And they have some depth in their, they don't have depth. That's my problem, is really. They, I'm not sure where their depth comes in, and it's a little bit mushy at the moment. But their starting five is good. It's just, you're gonna need a lot to make it through this season. I think I just think Texas got a lot better. I think Oklahoma has a year, and I want to talk about Oklahoma in a sec. Has had a year that is really building. But you know, hey, Michael says that Iowa State's gonna be better. You know, he mentions those four players along with Morgan Cain, and Stephanie Soares. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I'm sorry. Two-time NAIA Player of the Year coming in. I don't know how much of an impact she's gonna have, but that is a very interesting addition to this team if she can get some minutes. So Iowa State, bunch of players to watch there. I'll mention my other two players that I want to watch. Okay. See if we have any thoughts here. I have Taylor Robertson over Oklahoma, best shooter in the country last year, I believe, if everything held from when I last looked. Just awesome player for Oklahoma, really set their culture. And then I already mentioned Asia Blackwell, just as a player that I'm really looking forward to seeing how, she can up her game and get into that first round WNBA draft.
Well, I like her a lot. I just think when you have that in front of you, excuse me, swallow the wrong way.
went down the wrong pipe.
I was like, whoo. But no, with the WNBA being in front of these college players, and like what we were saying about the NIL, you know, it's a really interesting and intriguing conversation that we can have about that situation, because it's brand new with the NIL, and a lot of players are making more money in college than they are, you know, in terms of endorsement wise, when they go, you know, to the professional level with their endorsements in the WNBA. Not a lot, but there are some. I mean, it's getting to that
point
where,
sure,
you know, the kids who are, you know, tapping into the second year now of the NIL.
Oh, yeah.
It's really interesting to see that dynamic and the decisions that these players are making, business-wise and branding-wise. But I think, you know, with this conference overall, like what you said about Oklahoma, I mean, I know we're going to get into that. Can we go to Oklahoma now?
We can go to Oklahoma right now.
Okay.
Oklahoma.
Maddie Williams. I mean, she just...
Great basketball player.
She's tough. And I think when you are... I know it's hard to say when you're building from the inside out, like old school basketball. Now it's outside in, right? I mean, everyone's a unicorn. Everyone's, like LeBron said, an alien. Like, you know, everyone has the five out spread offense motion, you know, pin downs, the pick and rolls and all that stuff now. It doesn't matter what level of basketball, but that's what we're seeing in terms of how the game is being played. But when you have a player like Maddie Williams, who is just as tough as nails for Oklahoma, and a player who they rely heavily upon to do multiple things, a myriad of things for the success of their team, I think it's fun to watch. But I know with how this conference season is going to unfurl, it's going to be really interesting to see where Oklahoma ends up. And I know it'll be a challenge for them, but I'd like to see what Maddie Williams is going to look like as the season goes along.
Well, and that's another player that could really make waves into the WNBA. I mean, she's
what I'm saying.
She's the kind of player that typically does not work out. But when they do work out, they're really good. Binash Alani is this type of player. Yeah, Coffey, you have Alicia Clark, obviously, is probably the best example of that type of player. Who's making the, you know, she's kind of more of a four. She just needs to make that jump to a three. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. And she may be able to do that this year. And, you know, I think she's going to have a lot of chances at Oklahoma to shoot threes and to look like the type of player that that anyone want in the WNBA, because that's the type of, they get up and down. They shoot a ton of threes. This Oklahoma team does. And that's why, I was looking up because I did want to make sure of this before I said it. That's why Taylor Robertson last year, 8.2 3-point attempts per game.
Wow.
Which is insane.
That's a ton. But usually teams take that many, you know, sometimes. Well, in a half.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Yeah, when Christie played, 8 3-pointers would get you pulled.
That's
awesome. And if you took 8 3-pointers, you're getting pulled no matter what.
Yeah. For one player, wow, Robinson.
But she's the only player since, let me make sure, since 2009, 2010 to shoot that volume and hit 44% of them. Wild. And the actually, there's a couple more. There's two more, but for our purposes. It's fine.
Hey, listen, that's crazy because when you have that marker, right? If I'm coaching against the player shooting 44% on 8 threes attempted per game, and you're still shooting that efficiently, man, hey, we gotta put more pressure on the ball that's going her way. Like, she can't catch that. Like, how is she getting that many shots attempted from three? And not just that, she's knocking them in.
That's no, it's
44% clip. Come on, that's crazy.
No, it's wild. I'm trying to see how many threes they actually took. Over a third of their points came from three. I think they led the nation. They were seventh in the nation in 3-pointers attempted, 6 in makes.
Okay.
First in free throws made as well. That's what we call a good offense, folks. If you're first in free throws and 7th in 3-point attempts, you're doing something right.
True.
22nd offense, offensive.
Wow.
22nd best HHS offensive rating. And you know, that's what this team's going to hang their hat on. They do need to get their defense better. Last year, their defense was the third worst in the conference.
Oh, wow.
Second worst in the conference. So they need to get that better, but I think Oklahoma is my sleeper team in the Big 12.
I like that.
That's what I want. We have another one as well, because I had two here just in case we got into the Oklahoma talk. But like I said, you can score the ball. You got a chance, right?
True.
And has that changed for you? Actually, I do want to have a general discussion. Because I feel like most of the time when we talk about basketball,
yeah,
we talk about any sport, every team, right? Every single team in the world for anything. What do they hang their hat on? Defense.
Defense.
And it's always that phrase. It's always the phrase. We hang our hat on our defense.
Dang it.
We make our whatever the phrase. It's usually we hang our hat on our defense.
We hang our hat.
Everyone says it.
Everybody says it.
The Washington Wizards say it. And let me tell you, I really like the Wizards. I don't think they're going to hang their hat on their defense this year, just based on the talent they have.
Yes, they are, because
okay, we can have that discussion on a different podcast.
We can. Rebounds count. So.
However.
I digress.
However. Do you think it's a little different now? Because I feel like you kind of have to have a high score, not high scoring, but you have to have an efficient offense, right? So that you can play at different paces, because you're going to see different paces if you want to go far in the tournament or even far in your conference.
True.
So I feel like now you kind of got to hang your hat on your offense, which is the truth for pretty much every basketball team in the world, because there's a lot more offensive drills than there are defensive drills. So everyone's hanging their hat on offense. But can we finally say that now teams can hang their hat on their offense and win?
Yes.
Okay.
Did I say that? Anyway, when I was coaching, I was very offensive minded, and I will say that. However,
when you were playing.
And thank you, Gabe, for that.
Of course.
And very true. We had, and I know, like for football, right? There's a defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And we had a fantastic defensive minded coach on our staff, Jerry Wisdom. Amazing, right? Tough military guy, you know, but was very tough and stringent on the defensive end. And for whatever offensive things I would try to run in practice, he would sit somebody and mess it all up just to challenge me as a coach, which I also appreciated, the mental gymnastics of having to figure out the counter to the counter to the counter, right? Mm-hmm. If this team does this, if they trap it, if they do this or whatever, we have to be able to make adjustments and make moves, right? So it was actually awesome. So I will miss coaching. I will say that. So I digress once
again. What?
However.
We could have never guessed.
Moving on to it. No, but I just think it's really important to have a good balance of both. But I'd love to score the ball, honey. There's just something intimidating about being consistently efficient and knocking shots in your face. And that's just, I mean, a mentality that I had as a player. And I wasn't as gregarious or talkative or I don't know, passionate on the outside, right? As I am now, because I'm not playing anymore. So it's all coming out. But as a player, I mean, that was my motor, right? I wanted to put the shot in your face every time down. Like, give it to me again, I'm going to do it again. Give it to me again, I'm going to do it again. And then defensively, I also had kind of that same mentality as a player. Like, I'm blocking the shot. And it didn't work so well my freshman year. I fouled out in like 7 minutes at Georgia Tech. But again, I digress. because I tried to block everything. And then I had to learn how to play defense. I had to learn how to get around and stay loose on the post. And then I had 7 steals in a game. 7 from a post position.
Right.
Because I'm like, okay, that can count mentally as a block because you're not going to shoot. So I just took ownership that way. But I think there's just something, yes, about blocking the shot. But I think there's also something that is intimidating when you're doing your best. Like what we were just talking about. The kid's shooting 44% from 3 with 8 attempts a game. Like there's just something mentally powerful for her to know you're giving me your best shot and I'm still blowing that up. I'm still in your face with this bucket again and again and again. So I think there's something to be said for the back-breaking, bone-crushing, confidence-breaking moves when you get a shot put in your eye when you know that defense is giving you the best.
I agree. And now I'm looking at it, though. I want to check myself. You're right. You need both. So all 4 Final Four teams last year were in the top 12 of both. They were all in the top 5. They were in the top 6 for defensive rating.
Okay.
Come on, give me the offensive rating, guys. There we go.
Give it to
all me. Right, so I got 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah. All 4 of them were in the top 12. So you got to be, I guess we're making that delineation, got to be top 12 in both. That being said, I don't think Oklahoma can get to top 12 in defense if I had to guess.
It may be tough, but
certainly they have a shot to be good. And I think that's the point. Do you have a sleeper team in this conference?
Oh, man. I mean, I know you already said Oklahoma.
Is Baylor a sleeper team? I think Baylor has to be a sleeper team, right?
But not for me. I mean, are you saying from my perspective or what fans may think?
I think the sleeper team perspective has to be from the fans' perspective. I mean, obviously, we're not sleeping on them if we're picking them.
No, I'm not sleeping on them. I think maybe a fan's perspective, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, well, they lost a couple of WNBAers. Can they get off to a better start this season? And maybe there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. And maybe that could be kind of a sneaky team, you know?
I don't know how Baylor could sneak up on someone.
The sneaky sleeper team.
It
didn't come out.
I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know how Baylor could be a sleeper team. I just don't get it.
Personally, I don't.
But I mean, there's other teams. I mean, Kansas is a good team, as Michael mentioned in the comments. They're a good team last year. They're picked 4th or 5th this season.
Okay.
They're talented. It's tough to see, you know. The thing with Kansas and Oklahoma is you don't have those top-tier athletes that you're going to have at Baylor and Texas and right now at Iowa State. Like, those are top-tier, really top-tier players. So it's going to be tough to compete with them. And Kansas State losing Ayoka Lee, it kind of takes them off the table because you need an elite athlete. We'll see. Maybe Kansas has developed that, and we will find that out. All right, let's move on. We actually talked about the Big 12 for a very long time.
Oh, well, we did. Wow.
Let's that's the wrong banner. We'll get to that in a second. Who wins the Big 12, the team with the conference with 10 teams in it? Which of these 10 teams will win it, the Big 12?
I'm looking. You know what? I know we were talking Baylor as being a sleeper, or, you know, fans may see and they have a lot of questions to answer, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
I think they're going to come out of nowhere
I believe it.
And repeat as a regular season champ, and we'll see in the tournament. But yeah. I think they have a great chance to run their own race, keep the blinders on, get to work, get the job done, and do it again.
For Baylor, I'm thinking more of like a really good conference tournament run, maybe winning the conference tournament. That's what I see. I'm not sure they're quite going to have it together. Yeah, they may not have it quite together in the regular season. They may lose a couple early ones. But I'm picking my champ, and I think it was pretty clear from what we were saying when we were talking about the AP Top 25. Hook 'em, Texas.
Oh, snap. Hey, man. I'm not, no shade or anything like that, but, I mean, we played down there, I told you.
Yeah.
To go to the Final Four. So, I mean, you did that hook 'em, you know, and we won. All the fans stayed in there, and it was quiet, and they were all going at this, so we were like, we got to get out of here. This is crazy. We got to go. We were like,
well, and you know, this isn't a favoritism pick because I do not like Texas. One of my best friends is an Oklahoma fan. Oh. And it's just fun to hate Texas. Like, doing horns down is the funnest thing. You actually could get penalized in football games for doing this. And then Texas. That's what I thought. This is exact. Christy, I had this. Yeah, horns down. Everyone calls this.
We had a play call, horns down, double away, and pick and roll.
You couldn't do it in a taunting capacity or something. Regardless, I just think this team is so good. This Texas team. I mean, I already talked about Roy Harmon. Shaylee Gonzalez coming over from BYU, an excellent basketball player. I think she's going to transition to the Big 12 very easily. Obviously, BYU will be following her into the Big 12 momentarily. Aaliyah Moore, all Big 12 team. Deanna Gadsden, really good player. From last year's squad, so they have a lot of familiarity. They just have a lot of talent on this team. Sonia Morris also coming in at the guard position, going to give them a lot of help. As Dano said, hook 'em. I'm in on Texas. Let's roll with the Longhorns this year. And Vic, you know, I think Vic Schaefer is going to have these players ready. As Tiger mentioned, I wouldn't bet against Vic. So.
Ooh.
I'm going with Texas, hook 'em horns. I think Oklahoma is going to be good. I'm ready for the Red River shootouts this year. I think Iowa State's going to be really good. We have a great conference here. And then we'll see about these teams at the, you know, around. I mean, there's rebuilding projects going around the conference, and we'll see how much better they can get. You know, Oklahoma State, TCU, West Virginia, Texas Tech. And then we'll see what Kansas State is. They were really good last year. It's tough without Ayuk Lee. So
I know, right?
I'm excited because I'm very, very, very excited about Texas. Honestly, I'm really, really pumped about it. Anything else in the Big 12?
No, I mean, coaching change there at West Virginia.
Yeah.
Right. With South Dakota State coach.
Right. Or
South Dakota.
I forget who moved over there. I'm going to be honest.
No, I had them in the NCAA tournament. Sorry, I covered them in the anyway. But yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. I'm always interested to see how things change.
Yeah.
With pretty much the same personnel, but with different coaches at the helm and what the philosophy looks like.
Yeah, we have. I mean, I think it's just it's interesting how we're going to see these. Man, I just saw Texas A&M on the coaching change list. I was about to say, well, we didn't mention Texas A&M. They're not in this conference anymore.
Right.
It's going to be real weird when Texas and Oklahoma are not in this conference anymore. But we had coaching changes at Oklahoma State and West Virginia. So it's going to be rebuilding projects there. And, you know, hey, maybe some people surprise in their first year. You never know. All right, let's move on. Conference that has 12 teams in it. The Pac-12. The Pac-12 has 12 teams in it. And there's one of them that is real good. Number 2, Stanford, comes in as a top dog in this conference. They've won the last 2 years. I looked this up just for, you know, interest. Yep. From 1989 to 2014.
Wow.
That's a long time. Stanford failed to win the conference regular season crown twice.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is phenomenal. But I mean, Tara Vanderveer, I mean, let's just talk about her. Let's give her her roses. We always do anyway, but we just have to, because when they spoke about how, when she won the title 2 seasons ago, and they were like, well, the last one was 92.
Yeah. Something like that.
I'm like, what in the wow? But when you coach for that long and you still want to get back to the pinnacle.
Yeah.
But you have to respect that. That's a huge gap. And that's probably a record, right?
From one would have to think. I'm not a ESPN stats and info, but that has to be a record.
It just feels like that would be. But when you think about that, it's like, oh, how many titles have you won? I mean, some people have won none. Okay. But the fact that you win and you continue to win, and then there's a gap, but you're in the Final Four several times, right? And you just didn't get over the top. But you've had a very obviously successful program and a successful tenure and a run. But to have that big gap in between, I mean, I have to give a ton of respect to Tara Vanderveer and her staff just to be able to sustain and maintain and, to be knocked down but not knocked out, right? You're going to come back the next year. We got to the Final Four. We're going to come back and do it again. We're going to come back and do it again. And then they did that for years and then got it again with that huge gap. Come on. And people who never won anything are the ones saying, well, they didn't win it 40 times in a row. Who has ever won it 40 times in a row? Like, listen to what you're saying. Like, give respect where respect is due and look at the excellence along the way. And in the late, great words of Kobe Bryant, the journey is the dream. It's the journey of all that. And then to not only win it years ago and then do it again, but now you're enticed to get another one. So it's just like that cyclical mentality of just wanting to be a champion. And so you can't understate that. You can't undersell that. And for the people who, expect somebody to win every single year, show me what you've won. Like, you haven't won anything because you don't know how difficult that is. So just give respect where respect is due for Tara Vanderveer. And that's my rant. And I'm being quiet now about it. But In fairness, though. I don't like that.
Tara did win something pretty much every year from 3 years before I was born until I was 20.
Okay. So, let's talk about that then, because it's like...
She's incredible.
I hate when people expect that you're going to win it all the time. Yeah. I mean, that's what your hope is. I'm not saying you're going like, well, we'll just do the best we can. Everybody, let's just go out and compete. No. Everybody that's tying up their shoelaces right now is saying, we want to win a title. Every single 300 some teams, only one is going to get it.
Yeah.
Are we clear on that? People who have never won, are we clear on that? Like, it's one team that's going to come out on top. 300 plus teams are going to be trying to get it. Okay. So trust and believe. Let's just put it into perspective and understand what it takes to win. And Tara knows what it takes, clearly.
And that's why they are one of a handful of teams that could be in the championship conversation. Some other teams in the Pac-12 that are really, really solid. Arizona, obviously. We talk about them every year. Coach Barnes has it rolling now. We'll see how much better they can be. Obviously, they've lost some talent in the last couple of years. They've gained some talent. Do you want to talk about one of the recruits? And then we have Oregon at 20. Right. And that's it for the Pac-12. That's, as you mentioned, there's only three teams there.
Yeah.
There's some really good teams in this conference still, though. I think down ballot, there's some really talented teams.
Agreed.
That being said, two of those teams, USC and UCLA, are leaving this conference in 2024 to go to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, I guess, in some money. Money makes sense, probably. I don't know.
Look at the time. Golly, man. Yes.
From sea to shining sea, the Big Ten. We're going the manifest destiny of the Big Ten. Good for them. But yeah, I guess USC and UCLA are not going to be in this conference anymore. And I think that's after next year. So if they want to win this conference, they have to get a move on. Going to be tough this year with Stanford. Actually, do we want to just start there? Just let's start at the bottom. Who wins the Pac-12? Because I feel like there's only one answer, I think.
I know. I already went on my rant about Stanford, and I don't think I can acquiesce my way out of saying anyone other than Stanford to that.
Well, you look at the talent too. You know, you could take the name off the front of the jersey, and the names on the back of the jersey are gonna get me there too. True. Haley Jones, Cameron Brink, Hannah Jump, just a ton of Ashton Prechtel, ton of experience on this team. Fran Belevi, they've all been there. Yeah. They've all won. Now, one thing they struggled with last year was point guard play. Anna Wilson graduated, and they didn't really fill that point guard position throughout the year. That's what kind of, in my opinion, you know, got them in the Final Four. They still got to the Final Four, so the point guard problems weren't that big, but they struggled. They definitely struggled. They lose Lexi Hall, and so they're a little, some things are new, but I expect this team to be right there. They have Haley Jones and Cameron Brink. That's two of the best players in the country. They may be two All-Americans right there.
Haley Jones and I have the same birthday, so
clearly. Oh really?
Yeah, May 23rd. Ooh, heck. Oh. But I did a conversation with her. But I think with all of that experience coming back, and again, you know, Tara Vanderveer being Tara Vanderveer, I think that's going to be the challenge for them is going to be, can you stay up at the top, right? Mm-hmm. Can you make sure that you sustain it? Just like I was saying, can you be consistent every single night? And that's what Tara Vanderveer expects. I mean, did you see the documentary on the USA team?
I did indeed.
And I loved it. I loved it because, I mean, we knew about the team. Obviously, we knew that they won it in 96. But at the same time, you saw the drive that she has and the passion that she has for the team. You know, she was a pianist, right? So, I mean, you have to be very precise and direct and have your timing perfectly set up to be
strong fingers too,
and strong fingers, but strong mind, man. Like, can we talk about how you've got to be tough-minded to compete and win? Like, anyone can play the game. Like, yeah, what time we play at 3 o'clock? Okay, go show up at the game. Everybody can play, pick up or whatever. Just go play. Who wants to play to win? Like, there's a difference, and there's a different drive that she has that goes into her players, you know, from years past to today. And, you know, whether it's Olympic team or it's there, like she has a way to mold and to teach and to expect excellence. And I just don't see another team right now giving them the blues in conference play and taking that from them. I just don't think so. They just have the experience level too. I mean, if they were a younger team, I'd be like, well, they're young.
Yeah.
They're not young. They're experienced and well-seasoned, and there's a lot to say for veteran mentality.
I think we got to get a check-in next year. Maybe next year we'll pick against Stanford, but they'll still have Cameron Brink, so probably not. Probably not picking against Stanford. I mean, there's, again, like you mentioned, there's some good teams, and we'll talk about sleeper teams, but I think my definition of a sleeper in this conference is frankly anyone that's not Stanford. Hey, who else has a chance? Because I don't
like that.
I don't see a team beating Stanford this year. Yeah. Someone earlier said, it was Michael, said Stanford possibly undefeated in the Pac-12.
Wow.
Tend to agree. I don't know if undefeated.
Look at us agreeing today.
Like, I know. Well, this one's easy. this is the conference that's easy.
But I have to talk about it when it happens because it's very rare. So go ahead.
this conference is easy. And I think Stanford's going to win it. And my players to watch here, I mean, you know, I have three. If you have one, we can go. But I have Cameron Brink at the top. I think Cameron Brink's incredible. I think she's probably a future number one pick or close to it. I think her talent is unbelievable. I think she's still raw. You know, and something we hear a lot with Shakira Austin too. And I think those two kind of, they're a little similar in the way they play.
Very much so.
Right. But you hear all the time from the Mystics players, like, Shakira's not good yet. And I think the same kind of applies to Cameron Brink. Like, Cameron Brink's not good for her yet. For where she's going to be, she's got a lot more runway to go.
Yeah.
I think this year, the thing that I really want to see from her is just slowing down the fouling. I make fun of her all the time for this. She loves to foul. She had one of the highest foul rates in the country last year. She's going to have to get that under control.
Yep.
Obviously, she totally can. Again, all the talent in the world. I think she's going to be an excellent basketball player this year. And we'll see, because I have her ahead of Haley Jones. And it's just because we've seen Haley so much that I know what to expect from Haley. I've seen it. I think Brink is the player who could really take this over the top and then maybe change that national discussion that we're going to have with South Carolina soon.
True. I agree with that. I agree with that. I do like Haley Jones, though, because if she's off the floor, I mean, that team is totally different. I mean, to be honest, and not just because we share a birthday. Hey, Haley. But, I mean, she just does so much for that team. And you talk about pace of play being offensive all the time, but her defense at the top of their defense is the head of the snake and what they want to do and how they want to play on that side. And her communication skills as a leader as well. I mean, she is just that important for them that, you know, they just have to stay healthy. I mean, we were talking about all this experience with Brink and Jones and all them. They have to stay healthy. And I think they're going to make a deep, deep run in the NCAA tournament. But I mean, I'm not mad at them, you know, possibly going undefeated in conference play just because of that experience level. And Haley Jones leading the way. I like Cameron Brink, but she does have to stay on the floor to get better. At her discipline in that way and to prove that she can do that. Right. That's her challenge for this season is to be able to stay on the floor so that you can show yourself and you can gain that invaluable in-game experience. So, you know, she just has to be disciplined in that way. And I know she gets dialed up, man. And I love it. She's passionate. She plays with some fire in her belly. And, you know, you love to see players play with that level of love and passion. But at the same time, you have to, you know, make sure you're making proper decisions.
Rein it in.
With that passion and fire. And your team needs you to be on the floor. So you got to stay on the floor. Think about it before you do it.
No, she needs to. They always just calm down. Just calm down a little bit. But she did. Last year she did. I got to give her credit. The foul rate went down. She was in the 4th percentile her freshman year. Moved up to the 10th percentile. That's not good. But getting better. I think she'll be fine. And, you know, I think another thing that's just like she goes for a ton of blocks and in an not undisciplined, just the little hyper aggression. And also because she just doesn't have all the techniques that she needs yet. I think she's going to have better footwork as she goes forward. So I agree with you. I actually think, you know, Haley Jones is the leader of this team. I think she's the best player on this team, to be clear right now. Haley Jones is the best player on this team. But I think Cameron Brink is the player that, you know, changes a lot more if we see some more from her this year. I got a couple freshmen, unless you have someone you want to talk about.
No, I know who you're going with, so I'm excited.
Okay,
he's the DMV, so go ahead. I know you're
going to
say it.
Well, I have two. But first one's Kiki Rice at UCLA. Second one's Maya Naji at Arizona. She's not from the DMV. She's from Hopkins High School in Minnesota. But we could talk Kiki Rice first because she is from the DMV, and we got a got an up close view of her. Great. Looks like she's going to be a great point guard. And how ready do you think she's going to be in the Pac-12?
I think Corey Close is going to get her there. Number one, she's a workhorse, man. She's always been like that. My daughter Bree played with her. Mm-hmm. They were in sixth grade. And I just think that she's always had that killer about her. She's always had that fire in her to want to be great. She was extremely athletic, but she had great skills at a young age. And she's continued to work on that and honed her craft. I just think it's going to be fun to watch her play at the next level. I know that Corey Close is going, as the point guard, right? You said, as the point guard on the floor, Corey Close is going to be right there with her, right? Mm-hmm. Tracking her along the way. I think you're going to see a lot of what you saw from AZ Fudd. And we talked about AZ at UConn not being 100% healthy as a freshman, but, you know, she still had an amazing freshman year. So I think it's going to be along those lines where she's going to really have a command of that team. And from the point guard spot as a freshman, that's a huge responsibility, right? Because usually, you know, if you're a freshman, you don't want to step on toes, you know, you have some seniors there with you and you need to tell them where to go. But I don't think Kiki has any hesitation on directing and orchestrating.
Doesn't seem like it.
What the offense needs to look like and how to organize it. So I think she's really going to be great in that role, and I think she's going to be impactful in conference play in particular.
Well, and the thing with UCLA is they have a chance to be really good. I mean, someone in the comments just said that Kiki may not start at point guard. I don't disagree. I mean, Gina Conti's coming in, and Gina Conti coming from Wake Forest, One of the ACCers that I'm a big fan of. And Charisma Osborne is going to get the ball a ton.
Love Charisma.
And if she finally has some injury luck, which, please, I'm sending every vibe to her. She's another player who's going to have a chance to up her draft stock. So maybe Kiki's role this year is learning a little bit more, but I mean, she's going to play. She's going to need to play if this team wants to make noise in this conference. So I think she's going to be important for them. And then Maya Najee, kind of in a similar situation over at Arizona with a lot of really great players in front of her, namely Kate Reese, who could teach her the ropes and, you know, maybe they could play alongside each other for sure. But it'll be interesting how many minutes she gets and how much Adia Barnes wants to invest this season in some of these freshmen that she has, and how much they can compete too.
Right. Agreed. I agree. I love Adia Barnes, Copa. I mean, I think she obviously has a great young team, but mm-hmm. them to come in the top 25 in the preseason poll, I think that speaks to what she's been able to do there as head coach at her alma mater. I think she has amazing basketball acumen, and it translates, you know, to her players and her players who go on to play in the WNBA. And it's just fun to see how she challenges this young team. I think that's going to be what I'm going to be looking for, especially a non-conference play. How do they come out of the gates? How do they form together? How do they come together with being ranked? Because I know last year they weren't ranked very high. And then they started out and then they just became like an avalanche throughout the season and ended up in the top 10 as the year progressed. So I think you may see something like that this season as well, because they are so young. But I think, like you said, Adia is going to get them going the right way.
Well, it's just great people acumen. You mentioned the basketball acumen.
I love people.
You know, I talked to her for like, I don't know, 2 minutes at Team USA practice in Minnesota one time. I was like, I would play for you right now. Her and Courtney Banghart at UNC also at the same exact. I talked to her for like a 2 minutes. I was like, yeah, I'm in. Sign me up. I'll suit up. I don't even need an NIL to go here. Let's talk sleeper team. And again, this is any team that is not Stanford. So take your pick. I personally think mine would be Oregon. I think there's good teams in this conference. Yeah. I don't mean to poo-poo it. I'm sorry. But UCLA is good. Arizona is good. Washington State's good. Oregon State can be really good.
Yeah.
I think Oregon, though, has the most talent, and they've had the most talent for a few years now, and hasn't, because of injuries mainly, they haven't been able to get over that hump. Yeah. They haven't been able to push past it. Tahina Pau-Pau, still there at point guard. Awesome point guard. She's in her third year starting as a junior, right?
Yeah.
You have Sedona Prince, who's a great player, if she can stay on the court. And that's where it comes in for Kelly Graves. Amazing coach. Obviously, he's the last guy to win this conference that was not Stanford. Stanford's won the last two. The team that beat him before was Oregon.
Yeah.
So this team just needs to stay healthy 1 year. I think they can win. I think this year they actually do not have enough talent to overcome Stanford. But they would be my sleeper team if they can put it together and stay healthy.
No, I agree with that. You say you don't want to poo-poo it, but we're going to pow-pow it, right? Oh, sorry, everybody. I pow-pow. Anyway, but I think, you know, again, experience. That's the best teacher, right? And I think for Oregon, are we good, honey? Are you good? Oh, no. I can't hear you. Keep going. Okay, we'll keep going. But I think, are you good? Okay. With Pau-Pau, I like, again, with the experience of a point guard, that speaks volumes. You have to have that, right? You have to have a leader. You have to have somebody who can translate what Kelly Graves wants the team to do. And I love Kelly Graves and what he's been able to do in his tenure there at Oregon. And he's coached some really great point guards, Sabrina Ionescu, and, you know, Courtney Vandersloot before that, at Gonzaga. So he knows how to get the best out of his players, especially from the point guard spot.
No. I'm muted. There we go.
Oh, there you are. I'm like, I'm like, man, I know it.
Okay, so here's what happened. Since we're live, I'll explain it. I hit, there's a little cord right here, and I hit it, getting excited and gesticulating about something. And then I couldn't, and then they all got messed up, and I ruined everything. So we're just gonna cancel the show. No one's gonna watch it. It's not gonna be anywhere. No, I'm kidding. But with Oregon, yeah, Pau Pau stays healthy. I think they have a chance. If Pau Pau's not, then they don't. But she's a great point guard. Like you mentioned, like Braves has had great point guards and has helped produce great point guards.
Absolutely.
I hope they are healthy this year. And like I mentioned, UCLA, another great team. I don't think they have the number. I don't think they have the talent. I don't see it happening for them. And yeah, I would say that would be pretty much the extent of the teams, right? I mean, Oregon and Arizona and UCLA, probably the three teams that have the most talent behind Stanford in this league. Anyone else you want to shout out in the Pac-12? Obviously, Natasha Adair.
I was going to say
that. We had Sarah Crow, another DMVer, finding all the DMVers at West at Arizona State.
Yeah. And I was kind of joking before, but, you know, to have the Pac-12, and I know it's going to look totally different when UCLA and USC move into the Big Ten, right? Mm-hmm. And whether it's for money or whatever it's for,
it's
going to happen. So here we are. But I think what it does for women's basketball, it's going to really change the landscape for the Pac-12, right? I think it remains to be seen what exactly the ripple effect of that move will be for both of those teams to the Big Ten. But I it's very intriguing for the women's basketball landscape with those two teams moving to the Big Ten, what that's going to feel like for the Big Ten as well, right? Yeah. Not just for the Pac-12, but what is that going to feel like for Big Ten? And I think it's going to be quite a challenge to have those teams in it. And when I say that, it's a different style of basketball, right, that they play a little bit. I mean, coming to the Big Ten for them is going to be an adjustment. So it's going to be really a lot of fun to see what that looks like, feels like for both conferences when that move is officially made. So
yeah, it's going to be, you know, what else is going to be an adjustment is the time zone difference. Going from, you know, the two pillars of this country, Los Angeles and Piscataway, New Jersey. the two pillars.
Man, technology. Listen, technology, they're going to wake those kids up. They're going to keep them on their regular body.
I don't know.
They're going to be fine.
I watched the game in Japan with the Wizards. It did not look like that good of basketball. I'm going to tell you the truth. It looked like that was a really long flight. It's not quite as long.
14-hour flight they had. But they were doing things to keep the Wizards in the Warriors awake on the flight and hydration and there were all kinds of things. They had their legs, you know, compression things. They're kids. They're good. They understand, you know, they just want to play. Listen, they just want to play ball. That's what I'm talking about. Tell me what time the game is, where are we going to play it, and let's go.
No, I'm in. I'm in for that.
Let's get it going. Let's play.
I'm just saying. Period. It is a far way from New Jersey to Los Angeles. That is not close to each other. From sea to shining sea, though, the Big Ten.
Right, but guess what? I'm gonna tell you what they're not. I tell you, if I'm coaching in the Big Ten or in the Pac-12 teams who are moving into the Big Ten, I'm not gonna talk about that. I'm not gonna come in the locker room like, all right, we're getting ready for this game, and boy, that was a long flight.
Well, yeah, but
we're here now. We're going to play this game. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? They already know they took a long flight. They already know that they may be a tiny bit.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But they already know that. So I'm not going to make that a major point of emphasis when I'm trying to focus my team on winning this game against whoever they're playing. So I'm going to come in there like, this is the game plan. Get your mind right. Drink some water, splash some water in your face, and get yourself together. We're going to go play to win. And let's go. Like, I'm not going to bring up the flight and all the things. I can't.
No, yeah. Your body will bring it up. You don't have to bring it up.
Well,
you don't have to bring it up. Your body will tell you.
Your mind will deflect it away, like Shaq with all the negative things. Hitting all of that away. Your mind is the biggest muscle. I don't care. Like, your body can tell you you're going to drive that. You're going to drive that right on home and do your best.
Let's
competition brings out the best in us all.
Let's bring UMass to the Pac-12. UConn, UConn to the Pac-12. No. See the shining sea, baby. All the way across.
See.
Wait, how about how I'm trying
to be fine. It's going
to
be fine.
I'm trying to think of the dumbest team I can. If someone comment the dumbest team I could put in the Pac-12 to make the sea a shining sea for the Pac-12. East Carolina. I think I found it. We're putting East Carolina in the Pac-12.
Oh my god.
Oh, FAU. No, FAU my FAU. Yeah. FAU, you're in the Pac-12 now. Yeah. It makes just as much sense as USC and UCLA being in the Big 12. That's all I'm saying.
It's a challenge, but it's not impossible.
Oh, it's not impossible.
Some kids probably would never get to go to the West.
Travel to Piscataway, New Jersey. I know.
No, I'm talking to LA. Oh,
yeah, yeah. Those kids are pumped. What? You gotta go the other way though, not as much fun.
Saying, but it's gonna be fun for everybody involved.
Tiger said Coastal Carolina in the Pac-12. Man, coming to Myrtle Beach.
What do you say?
The Coastal Carolina to the Pac-12.
Tiger, it's past your bedtime, boo. You gotta go to bed.
Let's make it happen. Miami in the Pac-12. That, you know, I'm not. Listen,
you
that's where my college fandom ends. I'm not watching a football game at 10 p.m. I'm not watching a basketball game at 10 p.m. No. No. They can watch my game at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
I don't
early afternoon game.
I've done my time zone rant on this podcast, right?
Yeah, and you're in the thick of it right now too.
I'm okay. We don't have to get into it. Just eliminate the Pacific time zone. Anyways, but yeah, Coastal Carolina. To the Pac-12.
No.
William and Mary, Pac-12. See the signing sea. See to signing sea for all the conferences. That's all I got. All right, we made a lot of fun of the Big Ten. So these two conferences.
No, you said we. You said we, and it was you. So next sure. Hey, nope.
Big Ten officials, I made fun of this conference because it's insane. Christy thought it's a great idea. She also thought Coastal Carolina to the Pac-12 was a good idea too, though. All right, I think we're off the rails. All right, so we've done four conferences right now. We have not talked about the SEC, which actually kind of makes this question a little easier.
Yeah.
Let's rank these four conferences very quickly. I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm going ACC, Big Ten, Big 12. Pac-12. And I think the Pac-12 has the best team, because we already talked about that. I just think there's more good teams, and Texas could be as good as Stanford. So that's why I'm going Big 12 in front ahead of Pac-12.
Heard you. How about this? You said six ACC teams got into the preseason poll.
I believe it. Six or five or six.
Is it five, though?
It might be five. It's just...
This is helping me with my calculations.
Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Only five, but they're all in the top 13. Whereas the Big Ten has 1, 2, 3 ranked below all of the ACC teams. Maryland, Nebraska, Michigan, all ranked lower than the ACC teams.
Understood. Okay, here's mine. I'm going Big Ten.
Shocking.
We have six. ACC. And then I'm going with the Big 12 because they have four.
Right? Sure.
So it's hard to dispute. And then the Pac-12 has three of them in there. Yep. So I'm just going to make it easy. I mean, that's what the voters, and not just me, all the other voters probably agree with me on that, because 6, 5, 4, 3. Look at my Maryland math.
Sure. There we go. Yeah.
I know what.
Maryland.
College Park.
Somehow now in a conference with Southern California. That's what we all thought of, right? All right. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm done. I promise. That's the last one.
Hey, Dano, get your boy.
Yeah. Remember, all complaints, whether you're a Big Ten official, a listener, they go to @DrMataya on Twitter. He is our complaint department. He'll handle it. Our tech consultant.
Everything goes to him, and everything goes to him about Gabe. So don't say anything about me.
Oh, yeah. Chrissy, let's get out of here before I can never work for the Big Ten. I love you, Big Ten. I really do.
It's what we're doing. And
hey, look,
we're a team, and we're going
just like America. Just going all the way. We got the guy on the Atlantic. Watch it. They started from the middle. And they moved one way, and then they're coming back the other way. All right, that's the podcast. Christy, say goodbye to the people.
Okay, I'm going to say goodbye. Okay. You don't have to go home, but you got to get on out of here. They cut the lights out on us here as we sit courtside here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. We have more conferences to cover. Basketball season starts on November 7th, right around the corner. Oh, my God. So much more to cover, but we are here for it. And we're here for you. For Gabe Ibrahim, I'm Christy Winters Scott, and we will see you next time.